Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business, all from home, from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
When I look at what I can do with the HMA system and charge $1,000, let's say I make $100 an hour, easy. I mean, worst case, doing the USP. If it took me 10 hours and I charge $1,000, that's $100 an hour, and it's very simple and straightforward. And when you can have the confidence to charge $3,000, and I know some of your consultants do, per section or for the USP, suddenly making $200 or $300 an hour. And one of the things that I'm learning to value is peace in my life, you know, get out of the stress and the pressure, and just have something that's simple and it works.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Lessons from a Man Who Doubled His Income and Reduced His Stress by Switching to the HMA System. A couple weeks ago, I received an interesting letter from a man named Corey. Corey said he had tried marketing consulting on his own, and although he had a lot of skills and was great at landing $30,000 contracts, he wasn't making any real money because he was essentially promising endless work to his clients. He had since found the HMA system and is much happier. Without specific steps to outline an exact process, it's really easy to end up like Corey, with great intentions but little real income or structure. So in this audio, you'll hear all about Corey's story and how he used the HMA system to land more clients, spend less time on their marketing, and make a lot more money. You'll also hear how Corey positions himself to land high-paying clients willing to sign on to $30,000 contracts. You'll learn exactly how Corey got more HMA clients than he could handle in his first 3 days. You'll learn how to leverage off the relationships of others and get 10 times the response with half the effort. You'll learn why it's critical to get money up front and why Corey never does contingency deals. You'll learn how to set expectations from the get-go, make sure every promise is clearly spelled out in writing, and take control of the projects and priorities. You'll learn how to deal with inevitable failures that come up when dealing with clients so that you come across as professional and confident and without ever taking the blame. Corey says that before he got the HMA system, he used to become emotionally attached to his clients and felt responsible for their results. Now he realizes he needs clearly defined projects, structure, and limits. And in this audio, you'll hear his story along with all the lessons, tips, and tricks he's learned along the way. I hope you enjoy this interview. Now let's get going.
How have you known about my site? Do you remember how you even found out about it?
Yeah, I was up in Canada. I had made a move up there, actually trying to make kind of a fresh start, get my business going. And I was struggling with the way I'd been doing things. It hadn't been working for me very well in terms of marketing consulting. And I was looking for solutions, and I do a lot of copywriting, and I think I found your site looking for some copywriting interviews. And I started reading the marketing consultants and kind of following the thread that you have laid out for us. And I started listening to the interviews with Richard, and it totally caught my attention because I'd been a big Jay Abraham fan for a long time, really into his work and what he's been doing. And when I heard how Richard had structured it, that's exactly what I was struggling with, was some kind of a structure to implement marketing consulting.
Had you bought into or gone to any of the Abraham seminars?
Went to his $5,000 3-day event in Los Angeles.
Mastermind, Mark.
The Mastermind, that's right.
Okay, so you went to that $5,000. Were you pumped up when you came out of it?
Oh, my gosh, I was so pumped up. It was kind of a turning point for me. That's when I decided to kind of move away from what I had been doing, which was technology consulting. I had been building some large websites for some Fortune 500 companies and making pretty good money at it. But I'd been doing it for a couple of years, and it's really very frustrating to try and make things happen with a big company. You get layers of bureaucracy, and the smart things you know should happen on a website are just buried by everyone's opinion about how the graphics should look. And so it was kind of frustrating. And my passion has always been small business owners.
Before you went to Abraham Seminar, your core skill was what? Internet, building websites? You know, what was your main gig?
My main gig before I went there, I'll say my core skill has always been sales. My core skill has always been working with people face-to-face and at the end of those conversations, having them happily pay me money. And I've been doing that since I was 17. So that's really been my core skill all along.
Commission sales?
Yep. You bet. Where if you don't get a sale, you don't eat.
Give me an example of some of the sales jobs you've had.
My first one was selling vacuum cleaners at a high school.
Was it a curvy brand?
It was Rainbow. I got into it because my friends were all working. We were 17, you know, getting jobs. My friends were working construction or working McDonald's and making, at that time, I think, $3 or $4 an hour. And my friend said, these guys selling vacuum cleaners are making like $200 or $300 or $500 a day. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So he took me to a presentation, and of course, the guys presenting were recruiting new salespeople. And the brothers of who in this franchise were making, I don't know, about $200,000 a year selling vacuum cleaners.
Was it an incredible vacuum cleaner?
It was a great vacuum cleaner. I mean, I totally believed in the product. And so I set off, and I was just terrible. You know, my first presentation, I didn't really know what to do at all. But I got lucky, and I got a sale, I think, on my second time through. And suddenly I had made like $300, and I got fired up. So that kind of got me hooked on selling because I realized the better I got, the more money I could make.
How long did you do that for?
I did that for, I'd say, 8 months.
What did you do after that?
I sold artwork door-to-door.
That stuff made out of China, the canvases?
This wasn't actually. This was a guy from Florida who had a pretty good gig going. He had some local artists who would do, they call serigraphs, which are like screen-printed, hand-pulled pieces, and we would take those. He'd come up every summer from Florida to Calgary, Alberta, where I was. And we'd sell them door-to-door, and he'd recruit this team of art students and people who were into art to sell them. And he paid us $10 an hour to go around door-to-door plus a commission. And so he sat us down, and the first day he put on a Brian Tracy closing techniques tape. That was our training, basically.
Yeah, how'd that go? Were you making some good money?
It was okay. It was better than working for someone else, better than working for a flat rate. I really hate the idea of knowing what I'm going to make next month. It's always bugged me. And so it was good. It was great training, though, really was. Knocking on doors at 7 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night, you know, you're facing people who are a little upset that you're showing up. But then we'd go out in these buses with teams of four or five of us, and then, you know, we touch base every half an hour, and somebody says, yeah, I just made a sale, and you made like $200. And I'm like, wow. So you kind of keep going, and you talk your way into some houses, and you show people some art, and they spend $1,000 or $2,000, and you go, this is pretty impressive. So
yeah, no better training than that door-to-door, face-to-face.
Growing up, my mom had a business. She raised me by herself. My dad had his own business. My aunt had her own business. I was just surrounded by people who were running their own businesses, and I think that played a big part. They all struggled, and they all failed. You know, they all went through bankruptcy separately in different ways, and they were great people who worked their butts off in their business, you know, the best intentions. And I watched that happen, and I couldn't quite figure it out. It was only years later that I really realized it was the marketing piece that was missing for them. They didn't really know what to do. They just kept poking around. And my mom would come home all excited about the latest radio ad they were going to run, you know? And looking back on it, they spent thousands and thousands of stuff that didn't do anything for them. So I got into my first small business. I bought my sign shop, and so it was my first business. And it was basically a little hole in the wall. And this guy had been hand lettering signs for businesses. So we gave him $1,500, and he gave us some brushes and some paint cans and said, see you later. I think he left town the next day. But my partner and I, we were now in business. And our business was helping other business owners advertise through their signage and stuff. So I learned kind of trial by fire, you know, how to get customers. I learned about customers that order a bunch of stuff and they don't pay. And I learned what it takes to get people to respond to signage, that there was good signs and bad signs. So I was getting kind of an early training in direct response in some ways. You know, a good sign would pull more than a bad sign. And getting customers to spend more on a good design, I was, again, in sales, selling my own customers. And I was also in marketing and getting into graphic design. I quickly got a computer in there and taught myself how to use computer software for making signs and expanding into graphic design. It was a good little business. I had zero cash management skills. You know, I was bouncing checks and totally late with my jobs and saying yes to too many things. And I made every mistake possible.
Yeah, who was making all the signs?
I was making the signs. I was doing everything. I did have a partner for the first 6 months until I drove her crazy. And she left for an easier life.
Okay, so you grew up family members having business, seeing them fail. You've had your own business. You probably always had this nagging question, well, how do you take it to the next level? And you came across Tony Robbins' interview with Abraham, and it probably hit you like a ton of bricks.
That's the best way to describe it. There was literally a bell went off in my head. I can almost still hear that bell. Just listening to Jay describe how he thinks about things and his maximization strategies and the power of leverage and changing a headline, and I just had never heard anything like it. And it fit with all the experiences I've had so far. And I just remember saying, I just want to do that. That was kind of how I got the bug.
All right, so when you came home from the seminar, you had all these great ideas. Were you able to make sense of them and know what to do, how to put it into a system and go out there and get clients or use the marketing and turn it into money?
What I had was a brain full of big ideas and visions of what I could do. I've always been kind of a big thinker. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be easy. I'll just come back and I'll do all these things for my customers. Anyway, I licensed this marketing system for quite a bit of money.
Consulting one?
Yeah, it was a consulting program. It was basically, you had these information products you would go out with, and you would find small business owners, and you'd do a consultation, and you'd sell them a binder full of information for $1,100.
Yeah. What did you pay for that thing?
The license was $17,000 at the time.
$17,000, okay.
Yep, and that gave me access to these information products that I would buy for $250 and sell them for $750 to $1,200, and then I would add consulting services alongside those products.
How'd that go?
It was interesting. I had no problem selling it. That's always been fairly straightforward to me. And I made my first sale, but in my mind, I'm thinking big time. I'm thinking big time J. Abraham, you know? We're going to do all these things for your business, and we're going to quadruple your sales, and we're going to make all this stuff happen. And one of my first clients was a promotional products company, just a husband and wife team. They'd been doing it for 10 years, you know, kind of struggling along. When I met them, they were about $250,000 a year in sales.
Do you remember how you hooked up with them? How'd you get them?
I was cold calling from the Chamber of Commerce. I had joined the Chamber,
right.
And I was just going through, making cold calls, introducing myself. I feel like a consultation.
All right, so when you joined the Chamber, you have a list of all the other members, right?
That's correct.
All right, you're able to contact them. So imagine that you were calling them for the first time. How would you pitch it?
I'd call them up and I'd tell, my name's Corey, and I just joined the Chamber, and what I do is I help businesses grow and improve their marketing. And, boy, this is going back a few years now. What was I saying?
Yeah, well, what would you say today?
What would I say today? Well, today my approach is pretty straightforward. I'd call up and say, can you tell me who's in charge of your marketing for your business? And I get that person. I say, I just have a single question for you. If I could show you how to increase your sales 15 to 30% without spending any more money on advertising, would that be worth 10 minutes of your time? And that's straight from what I learned from you guys, HMA, and just figuring out that first question. Because that question, if they listen to it and they answer it, it gives you everything you need. That, like, for example, they're either going to say yes or no. And most people, they say yes, and the hook is without spending more money on advertising. That's such a powerful concept.
When you're making calls, is your job to sell them on everything over the phone, or do you have a specific focus to sell them on an appointment?
Yeah, absolutely. You just want to get an appointment. You just want to get a chance to have a real conversation with the business owner, where you can find out what's happening for them, and they can get a sense of who you are. That's really your first goal. It's just make that contact and just try and have a sincere conversation about their business and where they're trying to go.
So you don't promise them anything?
No. I say, what I'll do is I'll give you my best advice. You know, I'll share with you some specific things you can do to grow your business right now, whether you work with me or not. And at the end of that time, if it looks like we're a good fit, then we can talk about how we work together.
Okay, so you met with the couple. They were doing about $250,000 a year. Did you have a questionnaire process you took them through?
I did have a questionnaire process, which is the foundation, in my mind, of all selling. You have to have some kind of questions you're taking people through. So I would ask them about where are they now, where do they want to go, and I have a pretty specific sales process I use in general.
What happened with them?
They were looking for ways to grow. They were tired of struggling, you know, being at the same level. So they gave me a shot, and I sold them a package. I think it was $1,700 I charged them. And I gave them a manual full of great information, really great marketing stuff, and I offered them like 10 hours of my consulting time or something. And my mindset at that time was, I can't sell this stuff unless it's going to work for them. I was really, I guess, attached to that it's on my shoulders to make sure these guys get results, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But that was my mindset. It's like, okay, so whatever it takes. And, well, I mean, we worked together for like 3 years, basically, on and off. The first few months, they got me in there for marketing. This is the start of my lesson in what works when you're consulting and what doesn't work. You know, we went in there with the promise of marketing, but I quickly realized that their systems were all screwed up. They couldn't handle any more customers. And I found out quickly, it's like, well, what's your order process and how many hours a week are you guys working right now? And they're, of course, working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. The husband was the graphic designer. And orders were falling through the cracks. Customers were unhappy about certain things. And so in order for anything to actually work, I spent probably 3 months just helping them systemize their processes, just helping them go through and set up order processing. We built custom order forms on the computer using some new software at the time. I had this background in technology at that point. I had been building some very complex websites. I taught myself web programming because I saw the opportunity there. And so I'd gone through a few years of doing technology stuff. So when it came to marketing, the systems are fairly straightforward. You know, it's not like it's a complex deal, but they weren't in place. So I used my technology skills to help them do some flowcharts and figure things out. I ended up spending, you know, 3 months, like I said, just systemizing their business.
And they were getting a good deal for $1,700. They got all the material, and they got you just unlimited.
It was astonishing what I was willing to do back then.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
You wanted to see some success.
Absolutely. And I tend to fall in love with all my clients, and not literally, but I become good friends with them. I share their dreams, and I know what they've got in the line as an entrepreneur. And so it was, in the past especially, very hard for me to say, well, I need some more money for this. You know, and also I didn't have clear expectations with them in terms of what I'm going to deliver. And that was a theme kind of going through my consulting, you know, for probably the first 5 years. It would just be like, I'm going to help you grow your business. I can do what Abraham does, and I'm just going to implement all these systems, and you're going to grow, and we're all going to be real happy.
And it wasn't specific. What does that mean? How many hours do you have to work? Were you able to get that client some results?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, in 3 years, they doubled their sales. They were up to $450,000 or $500,000 in sales and growing, and really, we did hardly any marketing. Most of the work was just helping them systemize, and they had the customers coming, and we did a couple of mailings, a postcard mailing. I had a system in place for them, but they discovered that some of their customers were large construction companies, and one of them was spending $40,000 a year with them, right? And so I said, well, why don't we get more of those customers? You know, we just did some analysis, and so much of what's valuable is the analysis and looking at lifetime value and all these fundamentals that are just so critical. It gives you power. We discovered, okay, so every time we attract, and this is a concrete company, that could be worth $40,000 a year. So I said, well, how much are you willing to spend to get that? You know, so they had a way they could order caps, you know, embroidered caps for like $3 a piece somewhere, really inexpensive. They're good quality caps. I said, why don't we just get their logo off the web and send them a sample cap already embroidered with their information? It's going to cost you $20 or whatever, but let's say you did 100, it would be $2,000. And if you get one of those contracting companies, it could be worth $30,000, $40,000 a year.
Did y'all do that?
We did it once. We got a customer, and they wouldn't do it again. They were scared of the growth. And they were stuck in kind of their modality.
So it's key, before you decide to even work with a client, you have to get down, are they willing to grow, and do they have the ability to grow?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the critical questions, and that's a part of my process now, always.
All right, so bring me up to date.
Okay, I did small clients for several years, and I finally started getting my act together.
You had more confidence?
Yeah, more confidence. Yes, absolutely more confidence. I saw the value of what I was delivering, so I started charging more. But even though I was charging more, I wasn't making any more money.
Let me ask, so with that first client, $1,700, they got you to do whatever it took to help them grow.
Right.
How did you change that before you come up to today, you know, with some of the smaller clients? Did you change your pricing structure, or was it always pretty much the same?
Well, the next one I did, I charged $3,000, the installed ponds and landscaping. So I thought, I was excited about that. Do you think how your mindset of how much money is? Like $3,000 seemed like a lot of money back then. I was expanding. They got probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 hours of my time plus the product. I kind of kept going along trying to get those kinds of deals. I did a couple of talks locally that generated some more clients, but I was always undercharging and really more concerned with helping these businesses grow, trying to save the business. I think I was emotionally attached to some romantic dream that my mission was to help business owners.
All right, wait, I want to ask you, you did these talks. Tell me how you structured a talk.
Through the chamber, I met a lady who was running like a women's business organization in this town I was in. And so we did a little bit of work for them, and I said, you know, you guys have 300 or 400 members. And I said, why don't we invite your members to a marketing talk? And I'll talk about different ways to grow their business and how to avoid making mistakes with advertising.
A workshop.
A workshop, yeah. It was 2 hours. They sponsored it.
How did they sponsor it? Through email or through a letter or what?
We sent out a letter to their members.
Who sent it out, her or you?
I wrote the letter. They sent it out on their letterhead.
Who paid for the postage?
I did.
Okay, so it went out to 300 or 400 members. Was it a paid workshop?
Yeah, it was $29 we charged.
Did you split it with her?
Yes.
So 50-50 or what?
Yeah, it was 50-50.
Okay, and then workshop, what day was it on?
It was like a Thursday evening. It was an evening workshop, 2 hours.
Evening workshop, 2 hours, and what was the big promise in the letter?
The big promise was how to grow your business without wasting money in advertising.
Okay, great. And how many people did it go out to?
I think I had, 300?
And how many people came?
Well, we had like 40 people show up.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was. It was an awesome response, and that's due to the closeness of the list and the relationship they had with the sponsor.
So let's talk about that. I've got consultants who come on weekly or bi-monthly, whatever. And, you know, some of the first training in our HMA system is hitting the phones, cold calling, because that's how Richard started. He didn't know anyone. And now I tell him, forget the cold calling. If you're going to be cold calling, the only cold calling you should be doing is to set up joint venture alliances.
Absolutely.
If you were to give our consultants any advice, how much easier was it to get clients when you had one person endorse a workshop compared to going out there cold prospecting like you used to do door-to-door, getting one client for yourself?
Oh, there's no comparison. It's like the difference between swimming in a cold river and walking on the beach into the ocean in Hawaii.
Where's the power? Why does it work better?
So the power is you're leveraging the relationship these people already have with their customers. It's marketing 101, but it's so true. When you find a person who's got a relationship with a group of people, and they like and trust you, and they endorse you to their list, their response is probably 50 times what you're going to get doing a cold mailing. I did some cold mailings. I sent out 2,000 letters trying to get my own seminar going just to a cold list, you know, and I probably had 15 people show up. Compared to 300 letters and getting 30 people in the room who paid, it's just a dramatic difference. So it's easily 10 times the response and half the effort.
Okay, now I also asked you, was it a paid workshop or a free workshop? Why did you go with the paid workshop compared to a free one?
I'm trying to remember because my inclination would be to do a free workshop. I wouldn't charge for this again. But we put a price on it, I think, because the people I was partnering with, they kind of insisted. They wanted to cover the cost of the hotel. We rented a room, and it was kind of their insistence. If we're going to endorse this, we want to charge for it.
You had cost to put it on?
Yes. Yeah, there was cost.
So mainly that money covered the cost?
That's what the money did. It covered the cost, got people in there.
Now, did you have an arrangement if her clients came to this workshop and you were able to help them and they came on as clients with you, was she going to get any of that action?
Yeah, I offered her 10%.
And she loved it?
She loved it.
Now, what if you didn't offer her anything? Do you think that would have happened? Do you think the whole deal would have gone down?
It probably would have because of my ability to sell.
In your relationship.
In my relationship with them. And what I would have sold her on is she's providing value added for her customers. She's building a relationship with her people by offering them something that would normally cost them a lot more.
But the money greases the wheel.
Absolutely. It's really a no-brainer. You just want to make the offer.
So you said 10%. So a consultant listening or a potential consultant, mm-hmm. they're saying 10%. 10% of what?
10% of whatever that client pays me.
Yeah, ongoing.
Ongoing. You bet. It's so worth it just to get that endorsement and that relationship.
40 people or so showed up. What was your plan?
My plan was to do my presentation and offer consultations to people who wanted it in the room, basically giving everyone a chance to have a 30-minute consultation with me about their business.
All right. Did you have a PowerPoint?
I had overhead slides. Yeah, I did. And I was walking through just fundamentals that you learn from Jay Abraham or Dan Kennedy or anyone else is, you know, three ways to grow business. The impact of a headline. I had examples I pulled out of John Caple's book where he shows the headline comparisons and the increases. And I had everyone in the audience guess which one pulled better. And that's always been really effective to use that because they all think we know. And then we talk about, well, this one had a 1,400% increase in response. You know, and you drive home the fact that's 14 times more money for zero expense. And I say, can you imagine if that was available to you, if you could reach out and have that money, but you didn't know it was there because you never tested your headlines and you never measured your responses. And so I use that in my face-to-face selling as well as my presentations. It always gets them thinking.
Can you remember what happened after the two-hour workshop?
Yeah, I had six people take me up on my offer for a consultation, and I got four clients.
So you had six people. They loved what you heard.
Yep.
It all made sense. They probably didn't have time to do it, and they wanted you to help them.
That's always the case, Mike. People just want you to do it for them, and that's a topic we could probably talk about more. That's really the power, actually, in what we're doing.
So you set up these appointments, and you went in and basically looked at their business a little bit more closely and closed them on consulting services.
Yep, that's right.
Now, at that time, what were you packaging and selling then?
I was trying to get, like, 10 hours of my time plus the written materials, because that's what the leverage is. That's what the profit was, really, is, you know, putting a value of $1,200 on the written materials. And then,
yeah.
You know, I think I was trying to get $100 an hour for my time.
All your clients use all your time, or did some just kind of fall by the wayside and you didn't end up having to do all 10 hours?
I kind of forced everyone to use my time. I was really like, we got to make this work. Let's do this. You know, I always gave away extra time.
Were you charging $1,700?
I think it was a $3,500 package at that point.
And they paid you all up front?
Sometimes I take half up front.
Okay. And then the other half when?
Like 30 days.
Do you ever have problems collecting?
No.
Because you were spending time with them, they're committed.
That's right. Yeah, you got a relationship going.
You know, there's a lot of emails going on right now. I think Abraham's promoting his contingency marketing program. And, you know, Richard, when he started, he went to Abraham's seminar, and he couldn't make it work. And I have a whole audio recording. The protégés who went to the training, they could do support phone calls. They were called alliance calls. And I have the original recording of Richard on the group call with Abraham telling him how he's been failing at the contingency model, but he's kind of systemized everything, and this is the HMA system, and he's making it work. And it was about 45 minutes of Richard and Abraham going back and forth, and Richard explaining how it's working for him. Did you ever try contingency? Meaning, if I can show you how to make a dollar, you don't pay me anything up front, but you just pay me 25 cents on the ongoing?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the last 2 years, that's really been our package model. Our current offering is usually $30,000 plus a percentage of increased sales.
But you're getting $30,000 up front?
Yep.
That's great. But what about if you said no money up front, just contingency? Have you ever done anything like that?
I've never done a no money plus contingency deal. I've always been able to get some kind of a cash outlay up front.
Why is it important to get money up front before you start working with a client?
It's critical because, first of all, you don't really know how it's going to work out with the client. You don't really know how they're going to perform, and you're not really sure if it's going to be something you want to do long-term with this person. So getting money up front, it gets them committed because people will take anything for free. And what I found in those cases where I haven't charged up front or I've charged very little, they question everything. They're like, well, why are we doing this and why are we doing that? And they're very hesitant to spend money to test any of your marketing. It's just setting everything up on the wrong foot by saying, I'll do this for nothing for you, and that's what they value it as. Whereas you want to get in a position where they're looking at you as an expert, a trusted advisor, and they're giving you a check in good faith that says they believe what you're telling them, and they're committed and they're willing to listen to your advice. And that's a huge piece. What's important about that is when they give you that check, you want them to listen to what you have to say. You've got the advice. You are the expert in this case. They've been doing their best, and they've gotten wherever they've gotten, but that's the best they can do. If they could do better, if they could go out and make more money, they would do it, but they can't. So they need some help. And so the only way you can help them is you have to change what they've been doing. You have to steer them in a new direction. You have to get them to buy into some concepts that maybe they're not comfortable with, or they've never tried before, or they're not sure about risk reversal or whatever it would be. And so they're only going to be willing to make those changes if they trust you as the expert. And so when you come in and say, hey, look, don't pay me anything right now and I'll get some results, it's very hard to get them to really believe in what you're having to say.
Too good to be true.
That's right.
What's the catch?
That's right. What's the catch? And, you know, if you knew what you're doing, why would you work for free? You know, if you really knew what you're talking about, why would you be offering to work for free for me? Because no one else does. So much of what making this work, so much of getting big dollars and having successful projects is how you position yourself from the very start.
Now, there's nothing wrong with contingency after you've dated for a little bit. Just like you don't want to marry the client from the very beginning. You know nothing about them. You don't know if they're going to follow through on your advice. And you don't want to get into a long-term relationship until you date a little bit.
That's a perfect analogy.
Date a little bit, take them out to dinner, pull out their chair, and then you move on, right?
That's right. Well, and you never really know someone until you're in some kind of a stressful situation with them. You really don't know someone until you do something and it didn't work. How do they respond to that? And you start seeing the clients you want are the ones, they understand the bigger picture of what you're trying to achieve. And they're not going, okay, if this first mailing doesn't triple our sales, you know, we're through. They understand you're trying to take them on a journey to a place that's way better for their company, and they're willing to go along with you a little bit.
Right. All right, so you told me you're currently consulting with clients, and you're asking for $30,000 up front, and you're setting up a piece of action on the back end.
Right.
Tell me about that. I mean, that sounds incredible. It sounds like a lot of money. Is it all good?
So it's a big step up from where I was 5 years ago.
What's the difference between you asking for $30,000 up front and a piece of action now, and then 5 years ago you were only able to ask for $1,700? Where is the difference? What makes that number larger? What would you say to the consultants maybe who are just starting out?
That's a great question. You know, the only thing that has changed is my confidence. My knowledge of how to do marketing 5 years ago was plenty adequate to charge what I'm charging now. It's really just my confidence and my belief in my ability to get the job done, and also the value for these clients. As I work with businesses, I've seen the impact it has on a company if they get some good marketing in place.
I always say in a lot of my recordings, who's doing who the favor? You're doing them the favor.
Absolutely.
And it's all in the attitude, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, yeah, mindset and confidence is really the biggest factor.
How do you get that, though?
Well, you get it through having some successes. I mean, you go out there and you do an implementation, and you watch someone integrate a USP into their marketing and notice what happens. You got to be involved with their numbers. If you're going to have a client, they got to be willing to share, you know, the money that's coming in and what the expenses are and what they're doing so that you can see the tangible results. So you start by just, you know, having some success. Set yourself up for success. Find some clients and be choosy at first and find a client who's really ready for you. Find someone who's got some customers, who's got traffic already, and help them improve that.
So there's no shortcut to that confidence.
So there's ways to shortcut that, but if you want a guaranteed way to get confidence, is just go out there and have some successes. Now, it took me a lot of successes before I convinced myself, hey, this is really worthwhile. But the reality is 2 or 3 successes, and you've got everything you need. If you can point to 3 happy customers, you can charge whatever you want to your 4th customer.
Now, do you think anyone can do that without being willing to fail?
No, you have to be willing to have some failures. It's part of the process. You're going to do that. And it's painful. It can be painful. I've written a letter and we send it out and nothing happened. It's all on your shoulders. You told them this is going to help you, this is going to get customers, and that one didn't work. And how you handle that is really important.
Okay, let's say a consultant does something like that and the letter bombs. What advice would you give them how to handle something like that?
There's two parts. The first thing is you want to set expectations at the very first day of your relationship. Of what we're doing is we're testing and measuring. We're going to find out what works. You know, we're looking for the formula or the letter that's going to give us that bump in conversion. So it might take us a few tries. And most people, if you explain that up front, they understand that. You know, we're not going to hit out of the park the first time. But let's look at what would happen if we could increase your purchases per year by 10%. What would that be worth to you? Oh, okay, so there's about $30,000, let's say, on the table. And so what they see is that, okay, if we try a couple mailings or three mailings, if we can get this to work, it's worth $30,000 or $60,000 or $200,000, depending on the company. So first thing you want to do is set expectations up front of what the rewards are going to be if we can make this happen. And the second thing is when it happens, you go back, you don't want to be beating yourself up or playing the victim like, oh, I feel terrible, the mailing didn't work. You know, you want to be a professional about it. You know, say, well, that one didn't work. You know, let me figure out why it didn't work and let's talk about what we're going to do next to adjust it. And it's really a mindset of, I'm disappointed that didn't work, but, you know, you don't want to be saying, oh, I'm such a bad marketing consultant, because that creates doubt. And really what you're trying to do the whole time is maintain this trusted advisor position with your client. No one expects perfection. They're not perfect. What they expect is that you're doing your best and you've got their best interests in mind.
Same thing with the doctor. You know, if you're facing a terminal illness, you try things and there's experimental drugs you can take. Some don't work and you go on a different course of action. It's no different.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and how would you feel if your doctor came in all despondent and depressed and beating himself up because it didn't work? You'd have zero confidence in him. He'd be like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You don't want to come in there and say, I'm so sorry, this didn't work. Something about that just sets people to start doubting you.
Well, the guarantee that our HMA consultants are taught to offer to the clients are, we guarantee the system to grow your business, and depending on what kind of promise or what expectation the client has, and we say, if it doesn't, we'll continue to work the system until it does. And then we can't promise which step the system is going to get them the growth. It could be the USP, it could be a joint venture alliance, you just don't know, but we guarantee if the client goes through all the steps of the system and they're designed to work together, going to get the growth objective that they go after.
That's wonderful. Can I talk about how your system has influenced me and the pain I would have saved myself if I'd actually followed it?
Absolutely.
Because I say these numbers like, you know, we're charging $30,000, and those are true. I've had three clients take me up on that arrangement so far with a percentage, but it hasn't worked out the way I would have expected it to. And here's why it hasn't worked out. When I do that, we basically say, we're taking on all your marketing. We are basically now your marketing company. We are going to implement everything for your company, and we're going to get a piece of what happens as a result. And part of what hasn't worked is we didn't follow your advice. We didn't date first. We didn't do some projects first. We kind of just jumped in because we were excited about that big number up front. We're thinking, heck, with $30,000, that's going to cover X amount of our time. We know we can get something going for this customer. They're going to see results, so let's just do that. And what has happened for me, and this is based on my experience and kind of my mindset that threw me off, is I go in there and I see all the possibilities. You know, my mind just expands. I go, okay, we can do joint ventures and we can tweak your website and we can write better copy for your promotions. And I have all these directions that I want to go and that I can see clearly in my mind and I know would work. And so when it comes down to what are we doing first, second, and third, there's not a clear path. You know, there hasn't been a clear procedure that we've followed. There's been a general one, like, okay, we got to talk to your customers and find out, you know, why are they buying from you? And what do they want that you're not giving them now? So it's not like there's no process, but I'm not coming in there saying, these are the projects we're going to do. We're going to do this first, and then we're doing this first, and we're doing this first. If I had done that with my clients, the results would have been dramatically different. The first project we did this with was a client, and they make just gorgeous pedestals for underneath sculpture. That's their business. They've been in business 15 years, but they were hurting, cash flow-wise, et cetera. And so
they paid you $30,000 up front?
No, we allowed them to do three payments.
And you're promising them, I'm going to come in and do all your marketing.
That's right.
How do you set the expectations for any outside expenses for mailing or cost?
Those are all spelled out in the agreement that we have. We have a great agreement we put together, and it says, here's what we're going to do for you, here's what's included, and here's what's not included. It's all spelled out.
So in a nutshell, what's your promise? You're going to do what for them? What do they believe you're going to do for them?
What they believe is we're going to handle the nuts and bolts implementation. So we're going to write copy. We're going to look at their customer list and see what's happening with their numbers. We're going to look at where the opportunities are that they're not capitalizing on. For example, if they're not following up, and they know they should be following up, and everyone I talk to knows they should be following up better. I'm sure you've had that same experience. We say, well, what's stopping you from following up? And they go, well, we're too busy, we don't have to say, etc. So they expect that we're going to figure that out for them. And they love it.
Okay. So this client makes the pedestals for, what were they for again?
For sculpture, like in museums and galleries. Yeah. They're high-end. They're like, you know, up to $8,000 pedestals. So the expectation was that we're going to do that stuff for you, and as a result, your business is going to grow. We didn't promise a specific growth amount. We didn't say we're going to get you this 30% increase or whatever. We just talked about what the potential was for their business and if we can grow it. We felt confident we could double their business.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
So there's no clear end to your work.
Boy, Michael, you just hit it right in the head. There's no clear end to the work. And that's what happened. It was endless work.
I mean, there's always something you could be doing.
Always something. And the big mistake I made is I let the client steer the projects and the priorities. They really wanted to upgrade their website. And we were persuaded that that should be the first project. Looking back, I would have said, look, let's get some direct mail out to your customers. Again, I didn't have a system.
You were winging it. That's okay.
Yeah, I was winging it.
I did the same thing. I went through all of Abraham's stuff. I had great ideas. People would call me. I've got these early interviews up on my site and be giving my best ideas, but didn't know how to make any money from it. You know, I didn't know how to monetize it or ask for an appointment or do an opportunity analysis or offer them a proposal broken down into projects. That's right. And that is the key thing that I hear over and over again from the consultants who come on. A lot of them had J. Abraham experience, and they love him, and there's great ideas, and he was a huge influence in getting your mindset, and you can't take that away from him at all, that there was no system. Richard has a great quote. I don't know if you ever heard it in any of the recordings. He says, all of the musical notes were there before Mozart came off.
That's great.
That just perfectly sums it up.
Yep.
Okay, so give me some more stories with these three clients. So what happened with the one who made the pedestals?
What happened was we spent months and months. We shot video. We flew to their client sites. We shot video, got testimonials, and we ended up working on their website, and there was a lot of design revisions. They were very specific of what they wanted, and we spent a lot of money and time really getting a website put together. And so now they've got a beautiful website. But the whole time, their cash flow was suffering. They needed cash, and I mean, right now, they basically have downsized their entire company. We worked them for a whole year, and really, we couldn't get the response. They didn't have the cash flow to survive the testing and the process that it takes to get things in place.
Did you get your 30 grand?
We got 20.
You got 20.
Yeah, and we spent a fair portion of that on website paying contractors.
And then there was no back-end money.
That's right. We're both parted friends. These are wonderful people, amazing people. But it wasn't making sense for us to continue. And it was an example of my mindset really working against me. All these cases are. Going in there going, I'm going to help you. I'm going to save your business. We can do these things. It's going to be easy. And in my mind, it's easy, but the implementation always takes longer than you think, especially when it's unlimited, you know, and there's no focus, there's no plan.
Yeah, great, great story. What was the second one? What kind of client was it?
The next one is an association for women who are in the direct selling industry. So these two fantastic women have created this association. They've been working on it for 6 years. They've built it up, and they've gained credibility, and it's just an amazing business that they've created.
How many members?
Oh, they had, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 members and about 40,000 people on their mailing list. We met through a friend and a client, and we started talking, and I just was talking about what was their pain, and they were really struggling with their website. They were struggling with technology. They had a guy who created a proprietary website. It was restricting their growth. And so, again, I got myself in trouble. One of the things I do is because I've done so many things, because I can design websites and because I can program and because I can write copy, and I just think, oh, I can do everything. And so what they needed was a major transformation in their technology to allow them to grow. And they agreed to the fee.
30 grand?
30 grand plus.
Did you do payments?
We did payments with them. We did. And they could only afford, like, I think, $6,000 a month is what they started out with. And so we figured, okay, well, we'll just pace ourselves. We'll pace the amount of time we put in each month.
So was your payment structure $6,000 a month?
$6,000 a month.
For up until 30?
Up until 30, and then it was 15% of increased sales.
Gross sales or net?
Gross sales.
How do you structure that and what's your feeling on the percentage of sales growth compared to net?
Yeah, it's a great question. You have to look at what the business can afford, and you have to look at the margins on their products.
Yeah, and they were an association, pretty high margins.
That's right. It was a membership model or a training model, or they're selling information and training and education. So the margins could support that.
And gross is good. It's cleaner.
It's way cleaner. It's way simpler to calculate. As soon as you get into net profits, you better be really specific. And with the pedestal client, we were in with the net profit deal. Well, we spelled out what the acceptable expenses were, So, for example, the owners couldn't go and buy a new boat and say, oh, that's a business expense. We had to spell it out line by line. Here's the things that come out of the expenses before we calculate our piece.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, that's critical.
All right, so 15% of...
increased sales.
Okay, yep. So how'd it go? They wanted a total upgrade on their site, and you dove into it, and then what happened?
We dove into it, and from my past experience with software, I told her at the beginning it's going to take 6 months, it's going to be really painful to switch over. And she kind of laughed and said, well, let's hope it's not that difficult. But that's exactly what ended up happening, because we switched all their core services to... Are you familiar with Infusion?
Infusionsoft?
Yeah, Infusionsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a certified consultant with Infusion. We thought it would be the best solution for them. But it took us months and months and months of migrating one system after another to Infusion and changing their website. And they couldn't do an affiliate program, so we had to move their affiliate program. So we spent basically 6 months getting ready to the point where we could market them. It was just dollars for hours, all that time and energy we put into it. And I put myself there. This is all me creating these situations where I love the people I'm talking to. I want to help them out. I love the vision, so I get involved, and I can do it. So I say, yes, I will do it. And that's a big mistake. And eventually, after several more months, I let it go. Actually, I let them go about 3 weeks ago. I walked away from it, and we were in a position where we had evolved it to where we're just doing affiliate marketing, and we had a great percentage on that. But I realized it just ongoing, it wasn't satisfying, it wasn't what I wanted, and it wasn't working out for anybody.
All right, so how would you do it differently now?
Yeah, perfect. That's the right question. So what I would do differently now is, A, I would only work with companies who have a lot of money, they have customers, and they're not sinking ship. There's so many businesses out there. With the economy, the people are struggling, but they still have some financial stability. So I would look for companies where they've got some funds and some resources to implement some of the marketing you're talking about. I'd like to talk about the impact of the HMA system, because really, that's what I would do. I mean, and that's my intention. With any new marketing clients, I'm letting go of the whole idea of $30,000 up front and a percentage. It hasn't worked out for us. I'm not saying someone couldn't make it work, but it's really the wrong approach to this opportunity, to work in a small business. It puts too much pressure on you as the consultant to perform. When you've got that much money on the line, I mean, you better be able to make things happen and happen quickly. And without having a clearly defined project, there's no end to it. The expectations are unclear. It's just been fuzzy and not profitable. So if I had taken any of these three clients and I had used the HMA system from the very start, hey, let's do a USP for you guys. Pay me $3,000 or $1,500, you know, or $1,000. I had followed the steps. When I look at what I made per hour on all these projects, it's a scary thought. 30, 20 maybe an hour. And for people with our skills and anyone who's becoming a consultant with the idea, there's so much value in this stuff. When I look at what I can do with the HMA system and charge $1,000, let's say I make $100 an hour, easy. I mean, worst case, doing the USP. If it took me 10 hours and I charge $1,000, that's $100 an hour, and it's very simple and straightforward. And when you can have the confidence to charge $3,000, and I know some of your consultants do, per section or for the USP, suddenly making $200 or $300 an hour. And one of the things that I'm learning to value is peace in my life, you know, get out of the stress and the pressure, and just have something that's simple and it works. One thing I wanted to mention is that my transition from really struggling at $1,500 or $3,000 to making this money really started when I found the HMA system 4 years ago. So leading up to this, I'd been consulting from 2002 to 2005, so 3 years, really making no money and just getting very burned out because I was doing it wrong. I had no system. So I quit about a year and a half, and my secondary skill is as an artist. I do airbrush work. I'm actually pretty good at it. I ended up taking about a year and a half off to do custom murals on Harleys and something totally different. I just got out of marketing completely. I was burned out. That was great fun, but I wasn't making money doing that either. I finally said, look, I got a family to support. I got to figure this out. And so I moved up to Canada, where I'm from. My wife's from the States. So I moved back to Canada.
Where did you move from? Where were you?
Washington State.
Okay. How did you get kids?
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
I have three kids. I have an 18-year-old son and a 15-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter. So this was, I guess, 4 years ago now. And so I moved back to Canada where I had some family and some support, and I just sat down and I said, what am I going to do? I know I can do this. It was then I found your course, and it was just astonishing how it changed things for me by just seeing the structure. You know, listening to you and Richard talk and seeing how Richard lays out the seven marketing pillars or the seven systems and having a clear definition of the first one, the second one, the third one. I probably spent 2 days just listening to all your stuff and making notes. And so I did that. And so after about 3 or 4 days, I worked on my opening question. You know, what am I going to say when I walk into a business? And that's when I came up with my variation on it, which was, if I can show you how to increase your sales 30% without spending more money on advertising, would that be worth 15 minutes of your time? That's word for word what I came up with.
That's good. How'd it work?
It worked like a charm.
They all said yes?
They didn't all say yes. So what I did is I took that question, and I figured I'll do a 15-minute initial consultation, which is quick and easy, and I'll just show them three ways to grow a business and ask them some questions about what they're doing. If they like the 15 minutes, we'll set up a 1 hour. So it was like a two-step approach. And I just went door-to-door. I found a business park, because in those business parks, there's businesses of all kinds. You know, if you look at the quality of the park, you can tell they're paying a reasonable amount of rent. They're making some money, so it's happening. And so I just walked into business after business with my question. And the first few were a little nerve-wracking, but by the time I talked to three or four business owners, they started saying yes. And I would say probably, I think 30% of the people I talked to said yes to the 15-minute. So in an hour, I could go out and I could book three 15-minute appointments.
Would you ask for the owner?
Yeah, I'd walk in and I'd say, hey, tell me who the owner is. I said, I've got a question I'd like to ask.
How were you dressed?
I had a sport coat on, an open collar, and khaki pants.
You look somewhat professional.
Yeah, a little professional.
You have a clipboard, or what did you have in your hand?
I had like a black leather folder you put like a notepad inside. It wasn't a binder. It was a little bit thinner.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, non-threatening.
Take me in there. You walk in. Did you say, hi, my name is Corey, I'm with, is the owner here? Or?
Yeah, I'd walk in and I'd say, hi, my name's Corey, I'm with High Performance Marketing, and I'm just wondering if I could talk to the owner. But that was it. It was a little clumsy. But most of the time, the secretary, whatever, I would just smile and say, hey, I just have to ask the owner a quick question. That's what I would say. I'd walk in and say, hey, my name's Corey with High Performance Marketing. I was just wondering if I could ask the owner a quick question. And that would be it.
And they'd get the owner. Owner would come out.
The owner would walk out, kind of looking skeptical, like, who are you? What do you want? And I would just say my question, as awkward as it was. I would just say, hi, you know, if I could show you how to do this, would that be worth 15 minutes of your time? And I would just be quiet. And they would say, sure. Someone would say, no, I'm too busy. I'm not interested. But you know what? If those people hear that question and they're really not interested, then they're not a good prospect for you. It qualifies them so well, because the people you want are people who are thinking about, gosh, I'm spending so much on advertising. It's on their mind when they wake up in the morning, how am I going to get more customers?
And I guarantee you, most of those owners think you're a guy selling advertising.
That's right.
Because that's who's coming in the door. The people hustling radio time, newspaper, magazine, advertising. And then you blow them away.
That's exactly it. That's it, Michael. When they hear that phrase, without spending more money on advertising, that hooks them. I mean, that really gets them thinking, and they go, well, what are you talking about? And that's the opening you need.
So will they invite you into the office for the 15 minutes?
Yep. They'll usually say, hey, come back right now. I've got a few minutes now. A few times I would set an appointment to come back for 15. I was willing to do that.
All right, so what do you do? Let's say they say, come on in. You have a seat. What do you have with you to do that quick 15 minutes?
I've got my folder with me, and I have a printout of a series of questions, and I had the diagram of the three ways to grow a business and the impact it would make. And so I would just quickly find out, what are they doing now for marketing? How is it working for them? Tell me about their business. You always have to build rapport. Rapport is so critical. You've got to get them to really feel like you're there, genuinely concerned about their business. And I listened to one of your recordings where I think it was the guy from Ireland said he would ask them for a tour. Yeah, fantastic, because it is their baby. So I wish I had known that a few years ago. But that's great. Just get them comfortable that you're not here to pitch them anything. You're just here to give them some suggestions. Sit down and say, okay, what are you doing now? How is it working? Okay, let me just show you a concept of how we can get these kind of increases, 30, 40, 50% increases without spending more money on advertising. And I would just go through. I totally copied the chart that was on your PowerPoint slide of here's what happens if you increase your conversion, if you sell more per year, and if you get this, and it's a 30% across, and if you do that in all three. And they just never heard that before. Of course, I always have my questions built in that are helping them picture the results. So you always want to be asking them, well, how often do you follow up with your customers now? How many leads are you getting a week? How many of those leads are you converting?
What are you finding? Most of them have no clue.
No, most of them don't have any clue. Most of them really have no idea what their numbers are. Or if they do, they know maybe how many leads they're getting, but they don't know what their conversion ratio is. Or if they know that, you can be guaranteed when you ask them, you know, how often do you talk to your customers after they buy? There's always a stunned silence. Pretty much. And so you go, well, okay, so how many customers have you got? So the process of asking these questions is very scientific. And the idea is, if I'm talking right now, Michael, you could be thinking anything you want. You're thinking about your kids or your next call or whatever. Yeah, I was going to give you a specific one. You have boys and girls, or how are your kids?
I have two boys, a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay. So, Michael, you can be thinking whatever you want while I'm talking and making statements like this, right? Mm-hmm. But if I ask you, what's your oldest son's birthday? If I ask you, how old were you when you learned how to drive? If I ask you, what color were your mother's eyes? You're answering those questions in your head, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the answer first.
Right. You're looking for it. Whether you tell me or not. So what happens is when I'm asking those questions, I'm directing the movies in your mind. That's the metaphor I'm using. Okay. So when I'm asking questions, I'm the director. I'm helping you make movies. And you're filling in movies better than anything I could say. I could kind of describe to you the benefits of having more customers. But if I ask you, what would you do if you could increase your sales by 30%?
I've made the movie of what it's going to look like in my mind.
That's right. So you're selling yourself constantly. And so I've broken it down into a series of questions. When you ask them in a certain sequence, it uncovers all their motivation. so you don't have to do anything. And so as I'm interviewing these people, I'm asking them questions about their situation, what their problems are, and what's going to happen if they get them fixed. And by the time we're done, I say, look, I could come back for an hour, and I'll give you my best advice. And so closing the one-hour appointment was like 95% if you're doing the 15 minutes.
All right, so tell me, so how many of these 15-minute appointments have you been doing using this?
Well, back then, when I first made this transition...
This is when you came back up to Canada.
I came to Canada. I was starting fresh. I really wanted to make this work. It took me about 3 days to have all the clients I could handle at that point.
Really?
Yeah, 3 days of walking around, and I think I closed 5 different deals, and I was charging them per project. I was totally doing the HMA system. You know, the system made it so easy to sell. It made it very easy for them to say yes. And then I got into my old habits. As soon as I was in there as their consultant and we had a relationship going, my brain would take over and say, okay, we can do this and we can do this and we can do this and we can do this, and I would go all over the place.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and so that's where it broke down for me. I would get the clients, but I'd still be working way too long to get the things done because it wasn't focused.
And that's something within you.
Absolutely. That was totally my thing, my issue that I had to overcome.
That's interesting.
And so the system worked beautifully. I didn't actually follow the system as prescribed. I used it to get me clients, which it worked fantastic for. But then when it came to the implementation, I was back to, we can triple your business or we can do all these things, and I was all over the place. So I hadn't fixed the problem within me. But it was your system that allowed me to start and get into the consulting business right. This was like Corey Consulting 2.0. You know, I had been doing it for 4 years. I took a break, and then I got back into it with the HMA in mind. And it really changed my life because it allowed me to go out there and do it and get customers. And it was way better than before.
That's awesome. So what were you charging now that you had a new way to do it? Were you charging at project work, selling 4 projects at a time, core 4?
You know, it's interesting. I was charging per project, trial and error, having great success, finding clients that could be great clients, but consistently failing to make money at it because I would just do so much work. And I can trace it all back to not having the system. And what would happen, wow, if I'd had, you know, easily would have tripled my income. If I had just been following it, getting the job done, go through the core 4, make the money, the client's happy, go to the next client. And in there, you know, you're going to discover, like you said, some opportunities to work and partner and do some bigger things.
This has been great. I mean, I'm really happy you're sharing this with me and the listeners. Seriously, this is great.
Yeah, it's really a gift. The dream of marketing as a career, the dream of marketing consulting, the thing that gets people excited with possibilities, I love that. I love what that stands for, and I totally understand why people are excited about this as a way to make a living compared to doing all the other options that are available out there.
Yeah,
and so
it's exciting. It is. I mean, I know when I first learned, I couldn't sleep. I mean, it's just like this ultimate power. You're able to look at a business with x-ray glasses and see all these hidden profit opportunities, and it's a feeling of great power. Absolutely.
That's a great way to put it. That's totally right. That's perfect. You have the secret thing that you know how to do.
That's the end of my interview with Corey. I hope it's been helpful. If you have any questions whatsoever about the HMA system, please feel free to call me at 858-274-7851. Thanks for listening. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.